The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, good. Thank you, ladies, for that. Thank you so much. Take your Bible and go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3. By the way, we have a visitor that has misplaced or lost keys to a car. Brother Butler, would you stand, please? He's not the visitor, but if you do find the keys, if you could turn those into Brother Butler, that could be a great help. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 1, the Bible says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." Now, we're going to go into a list here. And you're going to see that there's a pretty wide list of what is going to take place during those perilous times, during those last days, okay? And God is about to give a list of some of the things that you're going to see in the last days. By the way, I believe this, the more you see these things, the closer you are to fulfilling that which is the Bible giving us the definition of the last days. And I believe we are living presently in the last days. I believe the Lord is soon going to return. I believe the rapture is soon going to take place. I believe for those of us that have received Jesus Christ as Savior, there's the catching away, and you and I will be soon to join the Lord. And so what is it that you're going to see that's taking place in the last days? Here's the list that God gives us. The Bible says in verse 2, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce," the Bible says, "despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having the form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." And so the Bible talks here and gives a list of things that you will see more prevalent in these days called the last days than you've ever seen in your life before. And can I tell you, the list that I gave you right now, I am seeing, as a 55-year-old man, more prevalent today than when I was 40, or more prevalent today when I was 30, or in my 20s or teen years. Now, what is it that these things mean? There's about 19 different things that are listed there, and so before you panic, may I tell you, I'm not going to cover all 19. But I'm going to cover the ones that are more prevalent than others that I believe that we're seeing in our society today. And I want to give you a description of those things biblically so that way you understand what you're viewing when you do see these things taking place in individuals' lives. Notice this. The Bible talks about how they are lovers of themselves. And so in the last days, you're going to find out that people put themselves on a higher importance level than ever before. The Bible talks here in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 2, where the Bible says, "For men shall be lovers," it says, "of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." You know, the Bible talks about that during these last days, men will become lovers, yea, ladies, individuals will become lovers of themselves. I don't know if you've ever seen, but I think this is a perfect description that would give at least the idea of what it is to become a lover of one's own self, where a person esteems themselves higher than another, esteems their opinions and though their viewpoints higher than that which is the very definitions that's given in the Bible, higher than truth, they esteem themselves. You perhaps have seen somebody do this and just clowning around where they will be in a corner with their face pointed towards the corner and they put one hand over one shoulder and the other hand over the other shoulder and they have their fingers extending to that which is the people that's outside and it almost looks like they're hugging someone and somebody is there, but in essence what they're doing is they're hugging themselves. Well, that is what this is talking about. talking about. There are people out there that are valuing themselves higher than the truth, valuing themselves higher than other people. They think that they're right. They think that their opinion is the only opinion that matters. They don't care what mom says. They don't care what dad says. They don't care what the preacher says. They don't care what the Bible says. They've got their own private interpretation of everything. And can I tell you, the Bible says there is no private interpretation. Okay? The Bible talks here about those that are lovers of self. The Bible says over in Luke chapter 14 and verse 26 and on, the Bible says, if any man will come to me, he says, and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and his brother and sister, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple. And then in Luke chapter 14 and verse 33, the Bible says this, so likewise that whosoever he be that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. It sounds like that God wants to be the one that is in your life that is more important than any other one that is in your life. I submit to you this morning, the reason that our society is so dysfunctional and the reason that we have homes that are so dysfunctional is because Christ has been removed out of the center of the home. A person now has elevated themselves as the center of the home. An individual has taken the place of Christ inside of the home. It's not what matters to Christ most. It's what matters to me most. It's what I feel. It's the way that I am sensing things. It's the way that I am emotionally led. It's the way that I am the one that is the important one inside of the house. And can I tell you, as long as there is a philosophy like that inside of a person's life or inside of a house or inside of a church, certainly you understand that Christ is not preeminent. Certainly you understand that Christ is not getting all the glory that he deserves. And certainly you understand that that is heading for a shipwreck. Do you understand this morning that in the last days, God didn't say good times are going to come, and God did not say blessings are going to come, and God did not say that happiness necessarily is going to reign, and God did not say that joy shall fill the earth. He said in the last days, perilous times shall come. Hard times, difficult times, times that are not easily understood, figured out, or summed up to be able to say this is the answer. Here's what we understand, that in the last days, God says one of the things, and isn't it noteworthy, because it seems like everything else will stem out from this. He says in the last days, it says that men here, watch it again, shall be lovers of their own selves. Well, it's easy to understand if men are lovers of their own selves, then comes covetousness. It's easy to understand if men become lovers of their own selves, they go about boasting. It's easy to understand if men become lovers of their own selves, they're having a trouble with pride. It's easy to understand when men and ladies become lovers of their own selves that they will blaspheme and feel no ill about it. It's easy to understand when men become lovers of their own selves that their parents don't matter and the choices of mom and dad, the teachings of mom and dad, they belittle and they don't look at them as being significant or important in their life. It's easy to understand when a person becomes a lover of their own selves that they become unthankful. It's easy to understand when a person becomes a lover of their own selves that they become unholy. It's easy to understand when a person becomes a lover of their own selves that they're without natural affection. They become the truce breakers. They become the false accusers. They become the person that's incontinent. They become the person that's fierce. They become the person that's despisers of those that are good, the traitors, the heady, the high-minded, the lovers of pleasure more than the lovers of God, having the form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Why? Because they're lovers of their own self. If we would become lovers of God more than we become lovers of ourselves, can I submit to you this morning that probably most of your problems would diminish. Amen. Most of your problems would be not as great as you presently think they are. You know, well, somebody hurt my feelings. Well, somebody offended me. Well, somebody, you know, it seemed like that somebody was just not giving me attention. And we live in such a me-crazed society. You know, where we're a bunch of ingrates and we're not thankful to the Lord God of what God is doing in our lives. Hey, do you think that churches would be different across America if we just came to church and we just looked for the things we could be thankful for? Well, that's not what you hear. Well, so-and-so sat in my seat. Well, so-and-so wore so much perfume that made me sneeze all the way through the service. Well, so-and-so, I wish they wore perfume. You know, so-and-so, he had so much cologne on that he could have had his own cologne shop and probably made a profit. Well, you know, so-and-so, I can't believe them. You know, did you watch the way that they sang? Did you watch the way they sat there and listened to the preacher? Did you watch the way that they sat in that seat? It just bothers me. I mean, they think that they're so righteous, you know. I mean, they're stuck on themselves. Well, can I tell you, that's exactly what the problem is, but it's not just the problem of so-and-so. It's the problem that we're having prevalently across our nation and inside of our churches and inside of our homes. And I'm saying that in the last days, you're going to see more of that. In the last days, children will rise up against their parents. In the last days, husbands and wives will continually fight and disagree. In the last days, you'll see the arguments rising, and you'll see that the killings are rising, and you'll see that the murderers are rising. But can I tell you, it doesn't have to be that way in your life. You can submit yourself to God. You can be somebody that's not caught up in this world system. You can be somebody that is filled with the Spirit of God, not walking in that which is the arm of the flesh, and God can control you. Just because somebody does something against you doesn't mean that necessarily you are supposed to be the one that rises up and does something against that individual. What about giving things to God? Where does He come in? What about vengeance is mine, saith the Lord?
Yes.
Where's that come in? What about going to God and asking God to give you a love for somebody else, not a love for yourself, not being a man that loves himself, a woman that loves herself? But what about going to God and saying, God, I need you to give me the type of love that I need for my mom, the type of love that I need for my dad? What about going to God and talking to Him like He's real? What about saying, God, you know, I've got trouble with so-and-so, but you control so-and-so, and you can help me with so-and-so, and you can be able to give me the love and the forgiveness and the help and the wisdom to be able to deal with so-and-so. Hey, I've got a great idea. How about bringing God into your life? How about allowing God to work? I'm telling you, in the last days, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that men shall become lovers of themselves. But it doesn't stop there. I'm just going to point out the ones that I see right now, and that is disobedient to parents. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 2, the Bible says disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Why is it that we have a generation that's not thankful? I remember teaching our children as we would travel on the road in evangelism for 12 years. I remember we had to pray for food. I remember we had to pray for gas to be able to make it to the next meeting. I remember that. I remember teaching our children that they ought to be thankful for everything that God gives them. And I remember them catching it. And I remember us pulling up to McDonald's and we'd buy them fries and they would say, Dad, Mom, thank you for the fries. You know, as we taught them to be thankful for the little things, it became a whole lot easier for them to understand how to be thankful for the big things. But I think we live in such a comfortable society here in the West that we think we actually deserve more than we get. You think you deserve to have a mom and dad that buys you the best dress, or that buys you the best shoes, or that buys you the best sneakers, or that buys you the best of this. You think you actually deserve that. May I remind you, please, you don't deserve anything. And if every single person in this room got what you and I got what I deserve, we'd be burning in hell right now. So anything above hell is a benefit.
Amen.
Come on. You got a mom and dad that treated you to breakfast this morning, that's more than you deserve. You got a mom and dad that gives you a bed to lay in at night that's more than you deserve. You got a mom and dad that sends you to a Christian school or a Christian college or helps you in another way of education. Can I tell you, that's more than you deserve. You got a parent that gets up in the morning and fix you breakfast or fix you lunch or fix you supper. Can I tell you, Bubba, you ought to be thankful for that. You ought to be thankful. You know, they let you walk on their carpet. It's not your carpet. You don't pay the bill. They let you sit in a room that's lighted. You don't have to sit in a dark room. Hey, thank God for that. Listen, let's not be a generation that mirrors those that know not Christ and living in the last days. Let's be a generation that mirrors the very life of Christ living in you in a last generation. Let's don't be lovers of ourselves, and let's don't be those that are disobedient to parents. Here's what it says. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. You know it well if you're a Bible reader, where the Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is possibly right. For this is 50% of what you ought to do. For they might bless you. That's not what it says. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee. First commandment with promise. First commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. Amen. You say, hey, preacher, I want to have long years. Then you honor your parents. You obey them and you honor them. He said that you may live long upon the earth. Now, what if God was to do it this way? Let me see. Stand up. You're my parent. What if God was to do it this way? I'm asking, what if God was to do it this way? Stand up and you represent the Lord God. Hold your Bible. And so what if God was to do it this way? What if God was to do it this way? What if God said, now, Mike, I'm going to allow you to live 75 years of age. It's appointed unto man once to die, but I'm going to allow you to live. So what if God was to do this? What if God was to do this? And this is my dad. And my dad says, we're going to go to church. And I say, you go, I'm not going. Now I'm a cocky, arrogant, rebellious, foolish teenager. But my dad has said, we're going to go to church. And I said, well, you go ahead and go. I'm not going. Now, wait a minute. Here's what you think. I've just disobeyed him. No big deal. I mean, he's just dad. He's just the old man. But God says when you obey and honor, he adds to your life. So what if God said, okay, for every time you disobey your parents, I'm just going to take one day off your life? Well, you say, I wouldn't like that. Well, God says that he'll lengthen your days if you honor your parents. So what if every day I do obey? He says, hey, Mike, we're going to go to church. Oh, Dad, I like that. Hey, Mike, clean your room. Oh, yes, sir. Always wanted to clean my room. Hey, Mike, need you to take out the trash. Yes, yes, sir. Be glad to. Our trash, neighbor's trash. What do you want?
Both.
You know, hey, Mike, want you to clean the car. Be glad to, Dad. I'll pay for it, too. I made some of the mess. You think God would smile on that? I submit to you that I believe that we have young people living in our generation that is cutting your life short. I believe that if you're not cutting your life physically short, you're cutting your life short of blessing. You know, because there's something about being a blessing to those that are around you. Now, I'm not saying that you had a perfect parent. I know your parents. I've never met a perfect parent. We don't have, you're thinking about, hey, I want to join that Parkside Baptist Church. They all look so nice. Man, they all look so perfect. We're not. There's not a perfect person that's in this church. Come on. I don't have perfect deacons. I don't have perfect staff men. I don't have perfect employees. I don't have perfect faculty that teaches in the academy or the college. I don't have one that's perfect. But I can tell you this, that it's no reason not to honor your parents. My dad was an alcoholic, but you never heard me talking bad about my daddy. You know, I loved him. I cared for him. As far as I was concerned, I knew he shouldn't be doing that, and I knew he shouldn't be beating us up from time to time, but I will tell you this, I honored and I loved him. You can't use your parents as an excuse for not serving Jesus Christ. I'm saying this, in the last days, you're going to see lovers of themselves. You're going to see disobedient to parents. You're going to see, it says, without natural affection. What's that talking about, preacher? We'll look at it. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 3, it says here, without natural affection, and it talks about truce breakers, and it talks about false accusers, and incontinent and furious, and it talks about despisers of those that do good. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you, even though the Supreme Court justice has passed a decree, has passed a law that says that it is okay in our eyes for that which is a man to become wedded to that which is a man, or that which is a female to become wedded to that which is a female, that is not what God says.
Right. Amen.
And we have to go back to that which is the Bible. What does God say about it? Matthew chapter 19 and verse 4, the Bible says, "And he answered and said unto them, Have you not read? He which made them, it says, at the beginning, male and female." Matthew chapter 19 and verse 5, the Bible says, and said, "For this cause shall a man leave his father." For what cause? Male and female. Doesn't say male and male or female and female. It says, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave," it says, "to his wife, and they shall twain," it says, "twain shall be one flesh." Now, I'm going to tell you, there has been so much push, even through the Hollywood movie presentations and the different things that's on there, that's showing what a family is like. But in God's book, in the Bible, that guides us, that shows us what is right, somebody has to rise up and somebody has to say to our children, this is right, this is wrong, go this way, don't go that way, rise up and do what you're supposed to do. There has to be a time in your life where you say God is right and man is wrong. One day you're not going to answer to man, but beloved friend, you're going to answer to the Lord God. You have to understand that God is the one that gave us that which is marriage, and marriage is between one man and one woman for a lifetime. But in the last days, you're going to see without natural affection. By the way, you say, "I don't believe that." Read the book of Leviticus chapter 18, and it talks about what is not acceptable in those relationships. The Bible talks about truce breakers. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 4, it says, "Traitors, heady, high-minded." You know, truce breakers. Used to be, when we marry a man and a woman, they come down and they take their vows. Those vows would be sacred between them, those that witnessed it, and God himself. But now we have people who say, "I tell you what, I'm going to stay married to you as long as I'm happy." Well, my things that I read out as a part of that covenant, it talks about till death do you part. Doesn't say until you become unhappy. You realize all of us that are married are probably going to grow old together? You realize we're going to change? Do you realize that our statures are going to go through change? Do you realize that your wife is going to go through change? Your husband's going to go through change? Might be mentally, might be emotionally, might be physically, might be the way that they view society, so socially. We're all going to go through change. Mrs. Wells and I, we started, 33, a little over 33 years ago, I asked her to marry me. And then we've been married now for 31 years. And I tell you, there's no quit. I enjoy and I love my wife. I don't want another one. I don't want another one. I'm perfectly satisfied with the one that God gave me. And I'm looking forward to us growing old together. I'm looking forward to us having hands that are all wrinkled up. Me go to hold her hand. Yeah, looking forward to it. Looking forward to the time when, you know, we go to kiss and we miss each other's heads because we can't see. Yeah, I look forward to pushing her in a wheelchair. Not yet, but pushing her in a wheelchair. And then me getting tired and me getting out and or her getting tired and her getting out and me getting in and her pushing me in the wheelchair. And we just take turns. Yeah. I look forward, maybe, not certain about this one, but, you know, if we do lose our teeth, we become toothless, gumming each other to death. Come on. Let me ask you something. The one that you're dating, the one that you're courting, the one that's in your life, can you see yourself 30 years from now being with that same person? 40 years from now being with that same person? 50 years being with that same person? 70 years being with that same person? 100 or what? If you can't, then you better not marry him. Come on. You say, well, I just don't see her the way that I saw her before. And Bubba, she don't see you that way either. Come on. Man, I know guys when they got married, they had a head of hair. You know, now if they have a head of hair, they got to go rent it. You won't like this one. You won't like this. I've said this before. I've had a lady or two get mad at me, but I have one of these guys come up and stand before. You know, one guy said, when I married her, she looked like the perfect Coca-Cola bottle. All the curves in the right places. That's what he said. I didn't say that. That's what he said. I'm just quoting someone. He said, now we've been married for at least 10 years. She looks like an oversized 2-liter. Wouldn't he mean for saying that? I tell you, that's wrong. That's wrong. That's why I never say that. He said that. But things do change. They do. Come on, they do. You know, listen, we don't give up on our kids when they get older. Kids don't give up on your parents. Spouses don't give up on each other. Step number one, there's the love of self, disobedient to parents, without natural affection, truce breakers. I'm just going to hit a couple more and I'm done, okay? The Bible talks about despisers of those that are good. Now, I don't know about you, but I believe in our policemen. Amen. I believe in them. Amen. And when anybody in society starts despising our policemen, they're wrong. Amen. They're wrong. But in the last days, you're going to find those that are despisers of those that are good. You know, the Bible talks in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. The Bible says how God anointed, of course, Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. Listen to it now. It says, and with power. And it says, who went about doing good. One of the things that our Savior did among healing people and oppressing that which was the devil is the fact of doing good to people. Just going about doing good. One of our young couples that's here this morning was standing out there in the lobby area, and I said, hey, what are you doing? And, you know, and they said, you know, we're waiting on somebody that is coming this morning. Possibly, and I said, oh, I just thought you're kind of looking at the grass, you know, it's beautiful grass out there, and you know, just kind of looking out there, God's creation's real good, and they said, no, preacher, no, the other day, there was a vet, and we noticed that he was a vet, and so we decided to pay for his meal after he ate, and just to say thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen. Now, what is that? That's good. That is good. All right. Last night, his kids, Mrs. Butler's kids too, they're married. He was out heading up a couple's activity for me, and they were sneaking. We were invited to come and just be a part of the little sneak a little bit. So when he and Mrs. Butler came home, we're in the living room, and the kids had a meal all prepared, and it was a, I love you, Dad. I love you, Mom. Thanks for 25 years of an example of a great marriage.
Amen.
Amen. I watched him cry twice. Watched his wife tear up many times. Amen. I watched his kids honor them, love them. Amen. Hey, come on. Now, what am I telling you? I'm telling you this, that in the last days, however, there is going to be those that don't do such things because they know not the Lord their God, and they don't go about doing good. Let me give you just a couple more, right? Two more. I'm done. Here it is. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. I submit to you that in America, the biggest opposition to Bible truth, preaching, and living for God is one word, materialism. Amen. Materialism.
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm not going to go to church Sunday night because after all, I've got to get up on Monday morning at 4:30. So what? So what? Well, I tell you what, I'm not going to go on Wednesday night because I'd have to get off work a little bit early and skip my supper. Oh, well, God's not worth that to you? You know, so many times, here's what we do. We become lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God.
Right.
Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24, the Bible says, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh and the affections and lust." Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2, the Bible says, "Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." We have people that are things chasers. I've got to have a bigger house. I've got to have a finer car. I've got to have nicer clothes. I've got to have, hey, wait a minute. I'm not against that. I hope you get the biggest house that you can afford and stay within your budget reasonably and be able to do it without losing the house. Hey, I'm for it. I am for you getting the nicest car. Man, you know, if you can afford inside of your budget and God blesses you financially and you can go out and buy yourself a $40,000 car, hey, look, I'm for it. You'll never hear me complain about that whatsoever as long as you let me ride in it with you. I am for it. Man, I'm for it. Go out and get the nicest hunting gun you can get. Go on your bear hunts and go on your lion hunts and go on your elk hunts and your moose hunts and go out there and go fishing and own your own yacht as you do it. And man, I'm for it. I'm for it. You know, go ahead and get a big, fat, juicy bank account. I'm for it. But don't you let that come between you and God. Don't you let that come between you and serving God and putting God first. I'm excited about some of our young professionals that's going into the business world. And I'm excited because of this reason. Some of our young professionals said, hey, preacher, I'll tell you what, I can't wait to be able to go into the business world and my personal life so that I can give more, so that I can help more missionaries, so that I can help you to build the buildings that you're dreaming about, to be able to have more students come to the Bible college and be able to receive training. And I can't wait to be able to invest more in that which is the work of God. And can I tell you, that's exactly what all of us ought to be doing. We understand this. The Bible says that they that are Christ have crucified. That means put to death the flesh and the affections thereof. Then it says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2, I read a moment ago, says set your affections on things above, the things that affect you, the things that affect you. You know, man, I bought this, but I tell you, I don't want nobody to touch it. Man, I bought this, and I tell you, it's what I'm living for. You know, you can't take those things to heaven with you. We lived in Brooklyn, New York for years. There's a very wealthy man that lived in Manhattan. His son died. They had their burial plots in Brooklyn. When his son died, very wealthy man, he died. He had his Cadillac. The boy owned a Cadillac. Boy died when he was, 21, and he buried his son in the Cadillac. First off, that's very expensive, but they had the money. But second off, that Cadillac's going to rust. He's not going to be going to heaven in Cadillac. The Bible talks about naked you came into this world, and naked you shall go out of this world.
Yes, amen.
All right, you brought nothing in, you'll take nothing out. You know, after you have a house, after you have a car, after you have clothes, you're able to eat, I want to ask you a question. What more do you need? You know, you got a life insurance policy. When you die, it's going to take care of your wife and your kids. What more do you need? Why don't we get to the point and to the place in our life where we put Jesus Christ first in our life?
Amen.
Lastly, and I give you this and I'm done. The Bible talks about in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 5, the Bible says having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof from such turn away. And so there are those in the last days that they have a form of godliness. They do. Man, you know, they've just got a certain look about them. They got a certain exterior about them that when you see them, it's like, wow, you know, hey, they must be godly. I watched them walk in front of the church, watched them walk up the front there, got that 10-pound Bible, smiling real big, got the right talk. Amen, brother, good to see you. God bless you. Having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Now, watch this. You know, you can fool man. You really can. But can I tell you, you can't fool God. God knows how surrendered you are. God knows if he's first in your life. God knows whether you're reading your Bible, not reading your Bible. God knows how much you love him deep down inside. God, now man may judge you. And men are good about that, by the way. They're very good at that. Men may judge you, and men may say, well, you know, so-and-so, they don't look like a godly Christian. Say, what do you do with that preacher? I just ignore it. Amen. Just ignore it. Somebody's critical of you, you ignore it like a bad cold that will eventually go away. Yeah. Come on. You just live for God. Live for God. By the way, your life and the fruit thereof will prove your heart that nobody can see. Because what's in the heart, it's going to come out. Yes. I've said often, you squeeze an orange long enough, hard enough, going to produce orange juice. You squeeze a person long enough, hard enough, whatever comes out reveals who they are. Bitterness comes out, that's really who they are. Forgiveness comes out, that's really who they are. Love comes out, that's really who they are. Deep down inside, that's who they are. All of a sudden, joy comes out. Squeeze me more. Need more orange juice. Okay, that's what it is. Okay, now I'm saying this. In the last days, let's be subject to Christ. It's not hard, is it? It's not hard. Let's just be subject to Christ. Somebody pulls in your parking spot. Don't get out and kick their wheels. Don't do that. Wave at them real nice. Just drive on by, find another parking spot. Those people get in front of you at Walmart, says 10 items or less, and you stand there counting 21, 22, 23, 24, 24. Hey, don't let that get under your skin. Don't do that. Okay? Just smile. Be there. You know? You know, maybe give them a gospel tract. They just wanted to give you this, all you needed it. But you be that individual. That is the one that allows God to use you in these last days. In these last days. In these last days. Went down, I ordered some books. I love reading old books. I ordered some books. And I went down to the post office to pick them up. And there was a lady in there. And I was so excited. I'm like a schoolboy, you know. And so I opened those books. And I was in the we live in Forney. And so I went into our post office box, and I opened up, and there was one of those books I ordered, and I thought, oh, this is going to be so good. You know, it was by Ira Sankey, you know, songs by Ira Sankey, him describing it. Now I know you want the book. And boy, I opened it, I started going through it, and I thought, man, this is so good. And I started talking. I didn't realize the lady was around the corner. You know, sometimes you embarrass yourself. And so I started talking, and I thought, oh, this is so good. God, thank you so much for this book. This is neat. God, thank you for letting me find. And I'm talking out loud to God, you know. And so this lady looks around the corner. I guess she thought, okay, what is with this guy? And then she and I had a suit on and whatnot because I was just coming home from work. And so, you know, she looked around the corner, and then she stepped out, and she said, I got a question. Are you a preacher? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, oh, we're okay. I don't know what she meant by that, but we're okay. You know, I don't know if she thought I was a nut or what, but isn't that a shame that in our day, we're not like that? I mean, isn't that a shame? Most people, they bow for prayer. You know, they go out to eat. And we do every Sunday, maybe like you, I don't know. But they'll bow for prayer, and on the way down, dear God, bless the food, amen. You know, maybe you ought to pray just a little bit longer so people can see that it actually happened. I think we need to be brighter testimonies in a darker world. And by the way, you can do that. You can do that. Father, bless, we pray.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.